From Freemasons to the Odd Fellows to the Loyal Order of Moose and so many more, people flocked to social clubs in the late 1800s, especially in Detroit. Bill Loomis is back with us again. His piece, Hanging at the Club, the Golden Age of Fraternal Societies, will be in this Sunday's Detroit News. Bill, how far back do we go to find the start of these clubs?
Well, really, they go back to the 18th century. The first Freemasonry lodge was opened in Detroit in 1764 by the British.
And what was the whole purpose of it?
It was a way initially for more of the elite people of Detroit and also military officers. It was a secret organization that kind of kept them in touch with each other. And up until the Civil War, it was not a very big membership. They were fairly exclusive, very secretive, popular among the elite, as I said.
How did it start to snowball, this whole social club movement?
During the Civil War, one particular fellow who was in northern Michigan for a while as a teacher, he was an actor out of work, and he started, his name was Justice Henry Rathbone, and he started a group called the Knights of Pythias. And that was a major change because it was open to anybody, and it was extremely popular. It just took off, and it became the third largest fraternity, if you will, or fraternal club in the United States.
Guys only.
Guys only. That's right. That's right. It was started what was called the Golden Age of Fraternalism, which ran from just after the Civil War, 1870, to about 1910, 1920.
I guess the idea of opening this up to everybody, so elaborate costumes,
yeah.
Secret handshakes, secret
right.
songs. Why?
You know, that's a question people still ask. Why were all these very sober, hardworking, this fellow might own a small hardware store in Saginaw, and suddenly he comes into these conventions and he's wearing yellow silk pantaloons and Turkish vest and all this kind of crazy stuff. Why did they get into that? I think, and others have said this as well, a lot of it's related to the Victorian days. There was a great deal of interest in the spirit world, in ancient cults and religions and seances and all that sort of thing. And I think it was a carryover from that. It was a way to reenact some of these things.
And in fact, it's interesting in your story, you list some of the names that they used. They didn't just call them clubs or chapters. You had tabernacles and temples and nests and lodges and hives and sororities, covens, dens.
Right.
And they all have, to me, very either religious, quasi-religious,
right.
or animal themes.
You know, they do have a lot of animal themes. The Improved Order of the Deer, the Order of the Owls.
Loyal Order of Moose.
Loyal Order of Moose. They're still going.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I think that a lot of these were designed, the Knights of Pythias, even the Shriners, the rituals were designed by actors, by people in theater. And that was a big appeal. One academic article I read said it really took off as the outfits, as they call them, the regalia, became more elaborate, more exotic. Memberships just soared. And so there was this need for people to get into that.
To not be a hardware store owner from Saginaw for
That's
one
right.
weekend.
That's right.
And Detroit became a real center for these conventions, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. In 1872, the Knights Templar, which is an auxiliary of the a branch of the Masons, had their first national convention in Detroit. And there were thousands of people that poured in. And they marched all over in their regalia, if you will. And they had banquets. They had steamer trips. And suddenly, Detroit was seen as a go-to place for a lot of these groups until about 1916 when it was voted the best convention city in the country.
What about African-Americans? What about women, immigrants?
Yeah, everybody was involved. Everybody was into it. You know, the Irish, they had several groups, Germans.
And still do.
And still yes. do, yeah. These groups still exist. And African-Americans had the Knights of Tabor and the Daughters of Tabor. They still are around. And they were also branches of the Masons or other groups that were African-American. So the GAR had African-American.
The Grand Army of the Republic?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
sorry,
yes.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, we know that that wonderful building in
yeah.
Detroit that had been sitting and decaying is now the home of
right.
Republic Restaurant, and they've just opened the second one in there.
That's right.
I guess as I thought about these, and you've got some wonderful pictures in your story in the Detroit News,
movies with people in their costumes.
And yeah, yeah.
It just kind of dawned on me, is it because they didn't have Netflix and cable? Did it just give them some kind of an escape world to play in?
I think so. You know, I got started in this years ago. My mother showed me my grandfather's Shriner outfit. And he was a very formal person. His name is Forrest Grayson, and he was an executive at, you know, in Detroit. And he was really embarrassed, in fact, irritated that my mother would show that because that was sort of his past. And I think people almost collectively said, that's enough of this stuff in the 1920s. They still do the charitable work.
We definitely see it with the Shriners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very involved.
Kiwanis is very big.
Which was founded in Detroit. We actually
that's right. It was.
Noted the 100th anniversary of the
founding. They do great work.
It's tough for them to recruit members today, isn't it?
It is. They have a lot of difficulty appealing to young people. And some of the reason is just the hours people work nowadays is so much longer than they did back then. And they just don't have the patience for it. I know I read one article in St. Clair Shores where the young woman said her mother was part of a group and it took them 20 minutes just to start the meeting because they went through this ritual. And she said, I don't want any, you know, that I can't stand sitting there for 20 minutes, you know. It was pretty funny.
Checking my my Facebook on my phone while they're all going through the ritual.
There's a great book called Bowling Alone, and it's came out in 2000, and it's really about how people don't join anything anymore. They really, Americans are not joiners. It's not just these exotic groups, but it's very common things as well.
Well, now that we drive around, because you can go anywhere in Michigan, it seems, and you'll see the little building we're up in the corner carved in says Odd Fellows or the Masonic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Detroit had a couple of fascinating examples of very cool buildings you point out in your story, the Masonic Temple and the Detroit Club. First, the Masonic Temple.
Masonic Temple is enormous. You know, it's the biggest in the country. And it was founded in the 20s. The actual foundation, the keystone of the building was set using George Washington's trowel that he used for the National Capitol. He was a famous Mason in his day. So it has a long history, and it's a beautiful building, but membership is just not there. Mm. The Detroit Club was really a local club for the elite businessmen, and the building is beautiful. If you go downtown, you can see it.
Well, in fact, anyone on the People Mover, as you go right around Cobo, you get a great view, above ground view of the Detroit Club.
Yeah.
With the beautiful, elegant curtains and those beautiful big windows.
It is.
What's in there? I always wonder that when I whiz by on the People Mover.
Well, in its day, which was late Victorian, it was the place to be, and it has a bowling alley and it has banquet rooms and libraries and every conceivable luxury. And presidents would come there. President Roosevelt was there and Harry Truman. It was quite a place.
And I know it's like they're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like so many of these places, the Elks, you read all about them. Their membership is so far down that it's not the same place. And plus the age of the median age is way up there. So it's a problem.
Young people have other things to do besides going through the 20-minute ritual. It is a fascinating story that Bill Loomis did on the golden age of fraternal societies, and you can find it at DetroitNews.com along with some fabulous photos. You've got to see them. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks, Cindy.